It's working. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for having me and the lovely, your warm welcome on a very, very cold day. I appreciate that. And well done, as Phil mentioned, for getting here on a day like today. It's fantastic. Those of you who haven't met me before, my name is Craig, and I'm from Baptist Care SA. And my voice just went a bit funny then, but that's okay. And I'm from the West Care Centre, so our inner city site. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's happening there today, but also a little bit about a new program that we've been running, which involves a couple of people here. So stay tuned, because they're going to share as well a little bit later. So get ready for that. But as you can see, it's very, very cold weather and really tough for our rough sleepers at the moment. There's around about 450 rough sleepers in South Australia at the moment, so people who don't have a roof over their heads. 6,200 people experiencing some sort of homelessness, but the rough sleepers in particular in this sort of weather doing it tough. So our centre was open last night with a code blue. Anyone heard of a code blue before? So you guys know all about Westcare, so brilliant. And we were open for about 3 or 4 days last week as well, looking after rough sleepers. And I want to thank you for your support as well. We appreciate your financial support. I know that you make a donation every year, so thank you so much for that. And all of those non-perishable food items as well, and blankets and all of those sort of things. So thank you so much for your support. All right. Well, it's a privilege to be with you today, even though Dan's not here. Fancy that. He takes the Sunday off that I'm coming. Well, he's got a pretty good excuse. He's tested positive to a rat test. But Dan and I, before, I've been working at Westcare for about 5 years, but prior to that, I was in Indonesia. Dan was my boss. Dan's everyone's boss, right? So he's a good boss, and so I enjoyed working under Dan in Indonesia, where we were teaching biblical studies to high school students, which was great. And then, you know, I'd work hard Monday to Friday, and then Dan would crank up again for the weekend and preach at the church, and was essentially the preaching pastor there as well. And he's an amazing guy. So, it's great to sort of share a connection with Dan as well. And also, I just want to thank, where's Jesse? I want to thank Jesse. It's been great working with you over the last couple of months, Jesse. So good. And I want to thank Kathy as well. Kathy, it's great to work with Kathy as well. And we're going to hear from them a little bit later as well. But it is a privilege to share with you today, and in particular to share some thoughts around Pentecost Sunday. So we're going to dive into Acts 2 a little bit later. But I want to suggest that if we're walking with Jesus, it's great to have a vision, and God gives us a fantastic vision in Revelation. And I'm going to particularly want to talk about Revelation 7, 9 to 10 today. If we've got the PowerPoint there, that'll be amazing. So I'm going to read from Revelation 7, 9 to 10. This gives us, I think, a stunning picture of the end goal. Where are we heading as a church? Where are we heading as God's people? And just see if you can picture this in your mind. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." I think that's just a stunning vision of where we're heading as a church, as God's people. And our privilege is that we get to participate with what the Holy Spirit is doing as He brings people together from all of these different backgrounds. You know, at the cross, Jesus broke down every barrier, right? He's broken down every wall, every barrier between all peoples, all tribes, all tongues. And the Holy Spirit's work is to empower us to actualize that breaking down, to walk in that truth, that those barriers are gone. That at the cross, there's nothing that stands between me and you. We can be reconciled to each other. There's nothing that stands between the nations. There's nothing that stands between different groups. And we get to walk and to proclaim that, and to be, as Corinthians says, ministers of reconciliation. So that's exciting. That's exciting. It's great news. What a picture we're heading towards. And so I hope you're excited, even on this cold morning, that we get to head to that picture. So keep that image in mind, that truth of Revelation 7, 9 to 10. Now, who likes chocolate? All right. Now, I don't know if I mentioned last time, but when I used to pastor a church in Elizabeth, somebody said to me that if I wasn't a pastor, I would have made a great game show host. Being the eternal optimist, I took that as a compliment. I'm not sure that he meant it as a compliment, to be fair. I reflected on that since, and I thought, oh, I don't reckon he was really being too nice, but that's okay. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to embody it, okay? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my tribe, okay, because I've got the microphone, I've got the clicker. See if I can get the clicker working. Here it is, Buzz. Oh, there we are. That's my tribe, Scotland, all right? So I was born in Scotland in 1975. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story today, and I'm also going to include a bit of a quiz. That's the quiz master part. And if you get the answer right, you get a chocolate. Now, is anyone allergic to nuts? All right, don't take the Snickers if you're allergic to nuts, okay? Hannah, can you open that one for me? I'm hopeless at opening these bags. So I was born in Scotland in 1975, a little town called Uddingston in Glasgow. Anyone been to Glasgow? All right, excellent. Very cold place, okay? It feels like Glasgow this morning. And Scotland is a land of stunning beauty. You've got the Highlands, you've got the Lochs, which are lakes, for those who are not familiar with that term. It's the land of Braveheart, freedom, okay? So that's good. So that's where I'm from. And like I said, because I like a good quiz and a good Mars bar or Snickers or Bounty, and Dan told me I could make it interactive, I thought I'd test your knowledge of my homeland with four questions. So are you ready for this? All right, talking about every tribe, this is my tribe. This is the first question, right? What is the name of this stunning animal? Did you say island cow? You're close, but I think Kathy's brought it home with Highland Coo. But I'm going to give you one anyway, okay? You like M&M's, Kathy? Go for that one. Highland Coo. Coo is cow. All right, so that's a stunning animal there. They're used for milk and meat even today. And nobody knows if they can actually see where they're going, though. I don't know if you know any... when I was back in the day when I used to work with youth, some of the youth used to look like that. They had the hair over their eyes. I didn't know if they could see anything, but they seemed to get around okay. And there you go, the Highland Coo. The Highland Coo. And up the back, I think you got that one as well, didn't you? You just say yes. Just say yes. You ready? All right, here we go. Whoa, sorry. Dan's away. We can do anything, right? Okay, this is how I live my life, right? Dan's gone, just anything goes, right? All right, Highland Coo. Question two. What is the capital of Scotland? All right, I saw that hand first, yes? Edinburgh, yes. Now, do you want a Snickers? You're okay with Snickers? Ready to catch that one? Oh, close. All right. So there's the Edinburgh Castle there. Edinburgh is the capital of Scotland. Not the biggest city. Glasgow would be the biggest city. Edinburgh, beautiful. Anyone been to Edinburgh Castle? Fantastic spot, isn't it? So that's the capital. Okay, this next one is very, very topical. Okay, get ready for this one. What are we looking at there? Deep fried mushrooms. Are you from Scotland? No? You are? You're not from Scotland. You got a deep fried Mars bar. Is anyone? Here's a Mars bar for you. You can go home and fry that one. There you go. Maybe don't fry it then. Actually, you'd be interested in this, being a doctor, but for many years, Glasgow was the heart attack capital of the world, which is a little bit of a worry. But they're not the heart attack capital of the world anymore. I'm not sure what is, but Glasgow are getting better. Rumour has it, by the way, if you talk about soft drinks, so your Coke and your Sprite, in England, they have a certain amount of sugar, and then when they go north of the border into Scotland, they add three or four more teaspoons of sugar, okay? So Scottish people have a sweet tooth. They also like their stuff which is deep fried, and but I don't really recommend it. I haven't actually had one, but they don't look too amazing. All right, let me turn this back on because I think I've managed to turn it off. See if I can flick to the next one. You know what? I reckon my battery's gone flat. Oh, no, it's back on. It's back on. There we go. There we go, it's working. Here we go. All right, now this is close to my heart, being a football fan or a soccer fan. But which Scottish soccer team? Right, I'm leaving. Because it would be counterproductive to my message for me not to give you a Mars bar, I will give you another Snickers, all right? So that's number two. But the answer is wrong. The answer is wrong. But you are close. Very close. It's another team. Does anyone know what the team is? Soccer, yes, that's right. But we call it football. Rangers. Well done. Glasgow Rangers. All right, that's the team. Well done. All right, so they're the most famous and the most successful team. Now, Celtic are very, very famous as well, but not quite as famous as Rangers. All right, so... Oh, hang on. Clicker's going crazy there. So as fantastic as Scotland is, one of my earliest memories is a little concerning. I went to a primary school when I was little called Linlithgow Primary School, and I went to that primary school for a couple of years, and that was the local government Protestant school, right? And so right next door, basically on the same block, was the local government Catholic school. And one of my earliest memories was going into the yard at playtime, and there was a fence about this high between the two playgrounds. And I remember one particular day that the students were pelting rocks at each other. And I don't think anyone understood why they were pelting, or they certainly didn't understand why they were pelting rocks at each other, and I certainly didn't as a year one student. But I do remember one of the other students from Linlithgow Primary School who was near me turning to somebody else and saying, "I'm so glad I'm not a Catholic." And I thought, what's wrong with being a Catholic? What's wrong with being, I walked to school with a Catholic today. What's wrong with being a Catholic? And so that was one of my earliest memories in Scotland. Now, you mentioned Glasgow Celtic. That's the team, the supporters at the bottom there. And they're the green and white ones. And my team, Rangers, are at the top there. All right, so they're not happy. So Celtic must have scored or something like that, I think. But I was watching a game the other day, and I'm educating my young son, Ozzy, who's 11. And this is what he said to me, and it really stuck with me. He said, "Why are they not sitting together, Dad? Why are they not sitting together?" And I laughed, and I said, "Because they'll kill each other." And they would. You see the police and the gap between them. They would kill each other. Now, I want you to have a look at this picture here, and I want you to compare it to what we read at the start from Revelation 7:9. And I'll read to you Revelation 7:9 again. "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar." What's similar and what's different to those two pictures? In Revelation, we're all together, aren't we? We're clothed in Jesus' righteousness. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags, but thank goodness that Jesus has died for our sins, and there's a divine exchange at the cross. I get to give Jesus my sins. He gives me his righteousness. That's a pretty good exchange, isn't it? And in Revelation, we're all standing, we're all in the same boat. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We can't be proud because Jesus has poured out through the Holy Spirit his grace on everyone. What a picture. What a picture. And so as I thought about my son's question, I started wondering where else in my life or in your life my son's question could be relevant. Why are they not sitting together, Dad? Why are they not sitting together, Dad? What about at school? Why are they not sitting together, Dad? What about at work? Why are they not sitting together, Dad? What about neighborhoods? Why are they not sitting and eating and laughing and enjoying life together, Dad? Where do all these barriers come from? Where do all these rocks come from that we're suddenly throwing at each other? Left to our own devices, our sinful human nature builds fences, walls, classes. We throw rocks at each other, even if they're just metaphorical. And yet when the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, and patience is poured out, there's a coming together. There's a movement towards that final vision of eternity where we're all together. The barriers are broken down. We're roaring in praise towards our Lord Jesus Christ, who's poured out his righteousness upon us, his grace, his love, his blessing, his favor. Barriers are broken down. We're no longer throwing stones at each other. We're sitting, eating, worshiping together in communion. Revelation 7:9 is the end point, the vision. Every nation, tribe, and tongue together, all one, no barriers, all clothed in Christ. And at Pentecost, we receive the mandate. And the good news is we're invited. We're invited to invite others into this good news story. And God says, I will empower you to do it. Sit, eat together, break down the barriers that have already been overcome in Christ. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, people that you ordinarily spend time with, maybe your family, your inner circle, those people that you feel very comfortable with, those that you like, maybe that's your Jerusalem. You are invited to share God's grace with them, to eat with them, to sit with them, to spend time with them. Don't neglect your Jerusalem. You know, some of us rush off to Samaria and the ends of the world, neglect our Jerusalem. Judea, people that you may associate with from time to time, maybe could be a bit like your Judea. Traditionally, there might have been some barriers, some differences, some things to overcome, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome those barriers. You can be sitting together, eating together, worshiping together. Samaria, what did the Jews think about the Samaritans? A bit like the Celtic Rangers thing, did not like each other at all. Did not like, and yet the woman at the well, a Samaritan, Jesus models that absolute love and forgiveness and grace. People that in your own strength or thinking you might be quite suspicious of, you never give them the benefit of the doubt. You always jump to the wrong conclusion, perhaps. You're Samaria. Who are those people that God's calling you and asking you to sit and receive his outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to go again and see whether you can break down those barriers and build those relationships. And finally, to the ends of the earth. What an opportunity. What an invitation, with that end goal in mind and the cross as central. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth is deeper than just geography. In fact, we see a picture of that in Acts, in Acts 1, 7 to 8, which was read out, I think, by Jesse before. You know, God gives us a picture of what he's starting to do right there at Pentecost. You've got people from all different nations coming together. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking our own native languages. The barriers are broken down. They're being human. They're speaking human. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and I won't read the rest because we've already had it read. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. It was so countercultural. Everyone was brought in together. The Holy Spirit connected them and they understood each other. He longs to do that with us today. The Holy Spirit actualizes the breaking down of barriers, which has already occurred beautifully in Christ. And when we're open, God takes us along for the ride. This brings us a little bit to one of the things which has been happening at our inner city site that I've been involved in. Just as I work out my clicker. There we go. And you know, Baptist Care SA is in a city site. Obviously, we work with people experiencing homelessness, and that's our vision and our mission. We do that. But also, in addition to that, over the last couple of years, we've been getting to know international students. Firstly, during COVID-19, many couldn't work. They lost income. This picture shows hundreds of mainly international students lined up for our food hub in July 2020. Also, we've had around about 100 or so students complete their social work placements at Baptist Care SA since January 2020. many of whom have been international students, about three quarters of them. So we've really had a chance to get to know them and their unique challenges. What are some of those challenges? Well, a student from Flinders said this: we are in limbo. This was during the pandemic, they said this. We are scared. We are not in a safe position and we don't know what will happen. I think as an international student, you're alone, the Flinders student said. And international students are widely accepted to be the most socially isolated in Adelaide. Some of their other challenges: financial and food insecurity, social isolation, which I mentioned, discrimination, unfair rental agreements, unfair work agreements, mental health challenges. Sometimes we have this perception, and some of that is our barrier thinking. We think of international students as these cashed up, well-off people that just come into our society and we don't need to worry about helping them. Well, we found that that is just not the case. That's not the case. And so in helping people doing it tough, helping those that are rough sleeping, helping those that are experiencing other types of homelessness, new arrivals, immigrants, refugees, we've also began working with international students. And we believe at Baptist Care SA that God is moving and helping us create a place where there is genuine connection, where there's learning and sharing, where the importance of being known and remembered by name is key, where we can work together and discover each other's strengths and gifts and diversity and find unity and diversity, and where we can encourage our international students also to contribute to our inner city site, including volunteering. At this point here, I'm going to invite, in any order that they like, a couple of my friends from Norton Summit who have also been involved in Better Together, Fun, Food and Friends. This is what we're calling this particular program. And I'm just grateful for them as being part of our key team on this. So I've asked them to share along the lines of what has God been placing on your heart about working with those that have come, the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth that have come to us in Adelaide. So, Kathy, are you going first? Can we give Kathy a round of applause? Kathy, you also get a Mars bar afterwards, okay? So.
Yeah, I didn't look at the memo, what Craig wanted me to speak on, but I think what I've been thinking about is roughly along those lines. I thought I might just tell you a little bit what has moved me to work with international students, and I'll try to keep it the Reader's Digest version. But I came to Australia when I was 17 as an exchange student. So I was an international student in a little bit different situation than most of the students that come here. I actually had met the family that I stayed with because they'd visited my parents in my home before I came, and I spoke the same language, kind of, and our cultures were similar, so it wasn't such a hard adjustment, although I do remember probably the first week I was there, I was in the kitchen, and the mother kind of handed me this bowl, and she said, "Chooks," and I had no idea what she said, even though we were both supposedly speaking English, and she repeated it a couple of times before I realized that chook meant chicken and I was supposed to feed the scraps to the chooks, to the chickens. So, but the international students that come here really have English, most of them have English as a second language, so that is a real challenge to start with. Then I went to Youth with a Mission and worked overseas, worked in Asia for a couple of years. And coming here, I worked with YWAM and then became a TAFE lecturer. And at TAFE, it was kind of strange, but I kind of always kind of had a real soft spot for the migrant students, as often studying in a second language, different culture very often. And Max and I were very blessed to be invited into their homes and for a to break the fast at Eid one year, and different things like that were really a blessing to us. And so it's kind of been a natural progression, I guess, to have this heart for the international students. You know, I started looking to see there's in Australia, there's something like 84,000 university students. Sorry, South Australia. What percentage of that do you think are international students? 84,000 students in South Australia, university students. What percentage? Any ideas? 20? 30? You're in the right area. It's 26%, according to the figures that I had, which is over the last couple of years. The highest number of international students by nationality is Chinese. Second highest is Indian, and then the variety of others, but very heavily leaning towards Chinese students, a very large majority. Anyway, so it's been a real blessing to be asked to be a part of working with the Better Together, Fun, Food, and Friends. We thought that took a bit of discussion to choose that name, but I think it really describes what we want to do in terms of reaching out to the students. They do struggle a lot, especially these last few years. They haven't been able to go home. When COVID was here and we were isolating, as Craig said, they didn't have friends or family to help them. If they have COVID, they don't have friends or family to help them. Max and I were making calls with the Red Cross to people with COVID, and I think Max had two calls to a household where there were 9 Indian students living together, and they just got it one after the other, after the other, after the other. And so the last one ended up being in isolation for 6 weeks or something. So they have it hard because they just don't have the support networks, and that's what we're trying to do, is help them to meet some Australians. Sometimes they only socialize in their own nationality groups. And someone told us a story, and I did look it up. I found an article, and it's in America, but I think it would be similar here. The story goes that a student had been in America for 4 years, and he was leaving to go back to his home country. And he was taking a suitcase full of gifts that he'd brought with him to give to his new American friends. But he never went to anyone's home. He never visited. He didn't have any American friends after that 4 years, and he was taking all the gifts home. And the statistic in America was that 80% of international students never went into American home during their whole 4 years of university education. And it's probably similar here. Anyway, this is what we're trying to do. Create networks so that they can feel supported, so that they feel like they belong, really. That's what's sticking with me. We want them to feel like they are welcomed and they belong. And this is a part of our call as Christians. All through the Old Testament, it says over and over and again that we should watch out for the stranger, the alien, the exile. The exile is refugees, and I think Jesse's going to talk a little bit about that too. But that we have a responsibility. Every single one of us, unless we're Aboriginal, came here originally through our ancestors as strangers, foreigners. So anyway, I don't want to put a guilt trip on, but God's blessed us so much, and we can be a blessing to these people that are coming here, and oftentimes they're very, very open to the gospel. So I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Kathy. I think she really summed up what we're trying to achieve with Better Together, which is kind of just making a place where international students can avoid loneliness and isolation as they come to this country. I thought I might share some of the particular stories that I've heard from international students. Some people from India, they found that it was so quiet here. And that's something that a number of other international students that come from China and such find as well, that they're from these really large bustling cities, and then they're in our CBD, and they ask things like, oh, which way is the city? Like, which way do we go? what do you mean? You just step out the door and you're there. And this real sense of everything just being so quiet and like there's no one around. Where are all the people? And hearing about that experience was quite interesting. Another discussion I was having, I was thinking about whether being an immigrant here to Australia would be the same as me being an immigrant to another country, like, say, back to India or to China. And it seems like that I always assumed that would be the case, that it would just be exactly the same. But talking to people, I think we live in a much more insulated kind of culture where we live in kind of nuclear families and we have very high fences, metaphorical and maybe physical as well, that it's hard, I think like Kathy said, the person who went to America with all those gifts for people assumed that would just be the way we kind of live. But it isn't quite. So in some cultures, I think if I went there, I'd be quite welcomed and probably meet lots of people. But coming into this culture, it's a little bit more standoffish. And I think that's something that international students didn't assume would happen and probably find really difficult, which is why Better Together is really good, that we're reaching out, building these kind of bridges and relationships and hearing people's stories and kind of welcoming them into the Australian kind of culture and community. In terms of welcoming people to Australia, I've also been involved in the Ukrainian food drops that you've all heard a little bit about before. It's been like a really amazing experience to connect Norton Summit Baptist Church in terms of funding with the food hub, which you see there, where you see the international students lining up to get some cheaper food, and then also my connections with Ukrainian dancing. And I think that has been kind of like, for me personally, it's been my mission, my part of my mission for the church and the mission for Norton Summit and the mission in Adelaide. It's been amazing that God has opened up that opportunity for me to just put these different moving parts together and just be part of that. And the story that I was hearing from one of these displaced Ukrainians who started coming along to dancing is just really incredible, because she grew up in the Soviet Union where she wasn't allowed to speak Ukrainian. It was banned. She couldn't speak her language. She said there was a real push to essentially destroy Ukrainian culture and what it means to be Ukrainian. They were kind of looked down on as kind of inferior to Russians. And then she went to university in Ukraine after the collapse of the Soviet Union, I think, and in that context then relearned Ukrainian, so stopped speaking the language that she spoke all through her childhood, and relearned like very similar language, but still, you know, be the equivalent of us all just ditching English and I guess learning German instead. And then has obviously with the war fled that context and come over here, and has left her husband behind, come with her children. And even though there's that real heartache there, she still has this real joy that she's bringing to the dancing, which is just so incredible to see. And I hope that maybe partly that's been helped by the fact that there's these food packs and there's this kind of welcoming atmosphere that we're reaching out as a church community. It even made it into the newsletter, I think. Norton Summit Baptist, we got a little shout out in the Westcare internal newsletter. Or not Westcare, Baptist Care. So it would go out to workers, you know, that may not even be Christian, social workers, things like that. So it's just, I think it's good for us to have that kind of practical example of, yes, we care and we want to welcome people and, you know, build bridges and relationships to all kinds of contexts, and we're on a mission for Jesus. So, yeah, thanks.
Thanks so much, Jesse and Kathy. So grateful for you guys for getting involved and partnering with us, and you know, that's you as Norton Summit being involved and really supporting that as well. It struck me as Jesse was talking, I've been hanging out with Jesse for the last few months, but I've never seen him do a Ukrainian dance. Just an interesting thought. I don't know if anyone here has seen Jesse do a Ukrainian dance, but Maybe next, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there, Jesse, next to Cafe Church. I mean, I could imagine you maybe a bit of a demonstration.
Maybe.
Not saying no, that's good. Excellent. Great stuff. You know, better together, fun, food and friends. One of the things that we'd love to do, and I'm glad you did a bit of research on that as well, Kathy. I was hoping that there would be an Australian story on it, but I found an American one as well. But I think, like you said, it is. And that breaks my heart. That story about that, you know, person that went so full of hope with all that bag full of gifts, that's heartbreaking, isn't it? And so our vision and an opportunity for you to get involved, perhaps, is a couple of things. At the end of this year, I'd love to see, for those that are interested, and we want to do this respectfully, integrally, but those that are interested, and I think someone mentioned before, a lot of people are open to the gospel when they come because they see it as part of the learning and the cultural side of things and being open. I'd love to see a number of different Alpha courses happening in different homes, or even just gatherings in homes where international students are invited in. So maybe that's something that you can be open to as well and just be praying about. We've got you know, numbers of about 20 to 25 international students on average coming to our fortnightly Thursday nights. And, you know, we want to build those connections over the next 6 months or so where we get to the point where we can say, you know what, why don't you come and, you know, would you like to come and learn a bit more about faith, about our faith? And we can learn about your background as well and your faith, and many of whom are Christians as well anyway. So that's one thing that might be an option. Another thing that we're really interested in is on our actual Thursday nights, is just people who are willing to come, particularly young adults, and just hang out and be there and chat with our international student friends. Often people like Jesse and Kathy and myself are running around frantically setting up lights and gas heaters this Thursday night, for goodness sake, gas heaters and all sorts of different things, FPOS machines, and we just need some people to come that would want to spend an hour or two and just hang out and have some conversations and really listen and build some connections. So something to pray about as well if you are interested. I want to finish with a quote. And this is from Andrew Duker from the University of Melbourne, and he's writing in Business News Australia, and he says, we must not return, he's talking about international students, we must not return to the status quo. Before the pandemic, international students faced many challenges, including racism, visa restrictions and insecure work. Research shows that they are much more likely than domestic students to experience social isolation, financial insecurity, and mental health issues. Could you guys flick it to the next slide? I don't seem to be able to do it for some reason on this one. My contention is, well, I agree with Andrew, but I think without the Holy Spirit, we will always return to the status quo. But, and the gospel is, it sounds a bit rude, but the gospel is a big but. But with the Holy Spirit, we can be part of moving towards that glorious vision of every tribe and tongue together, all barriers broken, all sitting, eating and worshipping. And maybe, my son Ozzy will turn to me and say, look, Dad, they're all sitting together. So let's pray. I want to just encourage us as we pray today to be open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. Be open to Him rising up in your heart and mind. And I want to ask you this question just as we're reflecting, just before we pray. I want to ask you, where is God calling you to break down barriers? Barriers that, in a sense, have already been broken at the cross, but you get to actualize that, to appropriate that. Where is God calling you to break down those barriers? Those barriers that, left to our own devices, we'll just build up again. Left to our own devices, we'll just return to the status quo. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you first and foremost for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he lived a perfect life on our behalf, that he died as an atoning sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And we thank you that he has risen again, and he has ascended and is seated at the right hand, your right hand, Father. And Lord, we thank you that Ephesians tells us that we are seated with him, your Son. Lord, we're forgiven, we're exalted through grace. We receive your favor, your blessing, your goodness. We thank you and praise you for all that. Lord, I pray that the message today of you bringing us all together, that vision of Revelation 7:9 of us all together, clothed in your righteousness, seated with you and worshiping you and reconciled to you and each other, that vision would be strong in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, you would burn that in our minds, and that you would help us to live that out, to move towards that, to move towards the reality which you are bringing a taste of to the world through us. So, Lord, help us to think today, inspired by you, how we can get involved in what is already happening and involved in where you are taking the whole of humanity. And Lord, may we be encouraged as well as we look around the world and we see strife and we see wars and we see different things. Lord, let us stand on your promises. You are the way maker. You never break a promise. And your promise through Scripture is that vision of everyone together, clothed in your righteousness, worshipping you, all barriers broken. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. And thanks again for your support of Westcare and Baptist Care SA. And may that relationship continue to be really strong. Thank you.